Welcome, I'm Ryan Hicks, and this is Modern Business, the podcast to learn from franchise business leaders and explore new business technology. Our community is about sharing knowledge and tools that help us achieve our goals in business and beyond. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Modern Business. This episode is sponsored by Rallyo Activate. As the number one ranked social media management platform by Entrepreneur Magazine's Franchise 500, Rallyo just announced an all-new standalone module that turns employees and customers into brand advocates and content contributors on social media. How it works is simple. First, we use text, email, and automated direct messages to invite employees and customers to become what we call micro-influencers. Second, we incentivize them to submit user-generated content, comments, hashtags, pictures, and share brand-approved content on their personal profiles. Lastly, we send gift cards and shout-outs to your micro-influencers. The best part is your brand is now seen on your employees' and customers' personal feeds, which helps explode your organic reach with authentic local-level engagement. It also helps build social proof and ultimately recruit more employees and win new customers. This entire process happens at the grassroots level on autopilot. Visit www.rallyo.com to contact us and learn more. That's www.rallyo.com. Hey, welcome back to Modern Business Podcast. This is the podcast for franchise entrepreneurs and franchise entrepreneurs. Thank you very much for listening today. I am super pumped to bring today's guest on for a couple of reasons. We first met, I think it was back at Unconference. You spoke. Great event, by the way. Unconference is one that if you haven't seen it or checked it out, you're going to want to. But this gentleman spoke there. We connected afterwards. The stars finally aligned. We finally get to host you on the show. Bedros Koulian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure to be here, Ryan. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, just to run down for the three people that don't know who Bedros is, a little bit of his background, if you will. He's the founder and CEO of Fitbody Bootcamp, 600 location franchise brand and quickly growing. Great brand, doing a lot of good stuff in the industry. He's also the author of Man Up, Wall Street Journal bestseller. He's an executive coach. He has several different elite masterminds I've seen. Yeah. And overall, really incredible entrepreneur, a guy that's really walking the talk and teaching other folks, other entrepreneurs like a lot of you in our audience, how to do the same beyond with what he does with his brand. So it's an honor to have you on the program.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. Appreciate it.
Man, you have a really awesome story. You come from super humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Go back on the journey and just share kind of where you come from and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. To save your audience some time, I'll kind of give you the encapsulated version. I'm really what I call the immigrant edge and the American dream. And what I mean by that is in 1980, we escaped Armenia, which was under communist rule, Soviet rule. I was 6 years old. We escaped Armenia and went into Italy. From there, we filled out our paperwork. Within 10 days, we entered the United States as political refugees because my dad was a member of the Communist Party. Now, imagine this, Ryan. He was a member of the Communist Party. So in Armenia, while most people really went without food and their homes had little water and electricity, we had it all. We had no reason to leave. We were part of the 18% of the population that were members of the Communist Party. And my dad was like, you know what? I believe in the American way. I believe in freedom, democracy, and opportunity. And we're going to escape. So he risked his life for two reasons. One, for freedom and opportunity. But two, my older brother, who was going to turn 18, was about to join the Russian army, the Soviet army, and go to war in Afghanistan, because that's who they were battling against back then. So all this to say, we came
by the way, how old were you at that time?
I was six.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 6 years old. So you can imagine what a culture shock it was for me to escape, come to the United States, not speak English, don't understand the culture. We're living on food stamps. Section 8 housing, some of the housings we lived in were so filthy, I got lice. And when I got lice, my mom and dad couldn't afford lice treatment. So my mom had to have my dad siphon out gasoline from a parked car and wash my hair with gasoline. When we ran out of food, which was often, my dad had discovered that we can literally dumpster dive behind grocery stores and take out food that's expired but hasn't necessarily gone bad.
Yeah.
So you know, to me, that was just how we lived. I didn't know there was anything exceptional about my life until as I grew up, I realized, wait a minute, you're not supposed to have your hair washed with gasoline. You're not supposed to be eating out of dumpsters. I was bullied and beat up because I didn't speak English. I didn't understand the culture. But all of that, while some people might go, man, I really feel bad for you, I believe has given me the edge. It's given me a lot of intensity and anger. But as Tim Grover says in his book, Relentless, you know, rage, anger, intensity channeled and controlled. He says, rage under control will win games, because he obviously works with guys like Michael Jordan and the late Kobe Bryant, et cetera. And so I've got this advantage that I've faced such hardships growing up and coming to the United States that now it's become a superpower where entrepreneurship is concerned.
Yeah. You recently, it was a YouTube video. By the way, everybody listening, go to YouTube, go to social, make sure you're connected with Bedros. He puts out a lot of really great content on YouTube. But I was listening, I was actually not watching, I was listening to a YouTube. And it was a recent podcast that you did, and it's the theme was winter is coming.
Yeah.
And so I just chat a little bit kind of more about that, a mindset. The economy could be going down. It could be an economic winter. It could be a personal winter, a struggle that you're going through. Everybody's always going through struggles.
Yep.
But chat a little bit about that, about how to, I liked how you talked about the fire drill and just kind of having a plan, but share what winter is coming means.
Well, yeah, I mean, what do we know about life? We know life comes to us with four seasons, right? And so you look at the four seasons of life or on this earth, make no mistake about it. Your life comes in seasons as well. There's going to be happy seasons. And when there is, know that someone's going to get cancer. Someone's going to die unexpectedly. Someone's going to cheat on you. There's going to be a divorce. And I'm not here to be the pessimist. I'm here to be the realist to say that life comes with summer, spring, fall, and winter. And where the economy is concerned, whether you're a franchisor or a franchisee, it doesn't matter. We've had one hell of a run economically right now. Like, we are doing amazing economically. And unfortunately, here's what happens. Good times create weak people. Weak people create bad times. Bad times create strong people. Strong people create good times. And so that cycle is happening right now. And so many people have their, just picture yourself as a dryer, like a washer and a dryer. So many people have their dial set to delicate because we've forgotten what hard times are like. And we don't intentionally go out and put ourselves through hard times, do we? We kind of get to sleep in and make money, and we have people working for us, and we make money, and the economy's so good, people are willing to spend their money and buy our products and services. And so we start to get weak. Our mental, emotional, entrepreneurial muscles begin to atrophy. And what I'm here to tell you is that winter is coming in some fashion, whether it's economically, whether it's in your personal life. And when it does, most people are going to be screwed because they don't actively take the steps to strengthen themselves, to build those mental, emotional, adversarial muscles that you need. Just like you go in the gym, you work out, you build your muscles, and you do cardio, and you build your heart, you can actually build your mental muscles, emotional muscle resilience, you know, IQ, great. What about EQ and AQ, adversity quotient? How much adversity can you take before you break? How much emotional stress, turmoil can you take before you break? Most people, not too much these days, because they've softened, they've weakened, and that's the facts.
Yeah. One of the things on the economy you talked about, I already know my speech when the economy does this, this and that and the other. I already know the message that I'm bringing back to my team. So you kind of do these in the same way that you do fire drills in schools, or you do earthquake. You know, you get under the under the table. That you kind of know.
It's
you kind of know. You got a little plan in place, and just share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so think about this. I mean, I'm not going to be stupid and think that, you know, Fit Body Bootcamp is going to be thriving all the time. Yeah, the economy is great. Our franchisees are thriving. We probably, like any other franchise, have franchisees who maybe are doing the minimum and thriving. Well, that's fantastic. Well, I know what's going to happen. When the economy crashes, they're the ones that are going to suffer the most. And I message to them every single week in our private Facebook group that we have, in our communications that we have, our newsletters that we have, that, guys, do the best you can now and just pack away money. Be prepared. Build your leadership team. Make sure that everyone's firing on all cylinders, because when the economy crashes, you're only going to be as good as your level of training, right? And so I already know the speeches I'm going to give to my team at headquarters, to my franchisees, to the public at large, to keep selling franchises, because my marketing message will change when the economy crashes. My marketing will continue. Notice that. my marketing will continue. The message will change, and I already know the message. Just like in 2011, 12, 13, when I was selling my franchises, and I was using the fact that we're in a bad economy with high unemployment rate and why you need to start a Fit Body Bootcamp location. Well, I knew what my message was going to be when the economy was thriving like it is now. I know what my message will be when the economy is not thriving again. And that's the difference between the losers and the winners in life. They don't prepare for what's coming next. I am.
Yeah, and you said we got him where we want him, and that's that speech. So I want to get a little bit into some more tactical marketing-related things.
Sure.
You're an absolute genius as it relates to personal branding, as it relates to marketing, and I know our audience want to hear some of your thoughts there. Just so there's context, talk a little bit about Fit Body and how it came about, because before you had Fit Body, you were also essentially training personal
trainers, gym
personal
owners.
Trainers and yeah. gym owners to be able to market themselves. Mm-hmm. So just share a little bit about that context of how it came about.
Yeah. So actually, that's a really good question, and it will reinforce the message I just sent, because even then I was prepared for the economic crash. I didn't know the 2008 economy was going to crash. I didn't get a heads up, but I was prepared for something to happen. And see, I had my gyms in the late 90s and early 2000s. I sold it. In 2001, 2002, I sold my 5 personal training gyms in San Diego. And I went into coaching and consulting small gym owners, studio owners that had their own mom and pop brands, mm-hmm. Helping them get more clients, make more sales, retain clients longer, et cetera, get more profitable. And everything was fine. And most of them did really high-end one-on-one personal training, which is expensive, $600 to $800 a month for a one-on-one client. Well, when the economy crashed in 2008, what happens? All their clients start drying up. And so they start reaching out to me and going, look, I can't afford to pay you $2,000 a month as my business coach because I just lost 10, 20, 30 clients. And I started looking around and I see outside these outdoor boot camps, right? Mm-hmm. We see them all the time. The difference is when I looked at the outdoor boot camps several years before that, it's like, I wonder if anyone would ever be interested in doing these outdoor boot camps indoors. Mm-hmm. I just knew that right now, back then, before 2008, the economy was good. Everyone had money, all this home equity, and no one was interested in doing outdoor boot camps. But I also knew that if we can bring the outdoor boot camp indoor, it now becomes weatherproof, and we could do it everywhere. Like, doesn't matter if it rains or snows or it's dark or cold, we could do it in-house and control the environment. And so I was prepared to make that shift. And so when the economy did crash, I said, well, it makes sense to me to take these outdoor boot camps and bring them indoors. I opened up 6 locations throughout Southern California myself.
Was that under the name Fit Body, or was it something different at the time?
It was under the name Fit Body.
Got it.
And saw after a couple of years, hey, these are working just fine. We're very profitable, right? Training one-on-many instead of one-on-one. The clients get to save money because they're now paying $150 a session instead of, because they're working in a group, instead of paying $600 to $800 working one-on-one. So the clients get the convenience of making money. The facility gets to be more profitable. Well, gosh, this is a win-win. And it's indoor, so we could do it anywhere. It doesn't matter what the weather is. And so by 2012, we franchised the model, and it was just, you know, blew up from there. Did we face growing pains? Absolutely. Did I have to slow down to then speed back up because I didn't know anything about franchising? Part of not knowing is you run into setbacks. I didn't know that I literally was giving 12 DVDs. So when you bought the Fit Body Bootcamp franchise, you would get 12 DVDs in the mail, no university. Like right now we have a 5-day university yep. in-house that you come and do. You get your own cap coach, which is your coaching and profitability
coach. I bet you made
coach.
Some badass DVDs though.
Dude, but the DVDs were hardcore. Exactly. So you got 12 DVDs in the mail, and the hope was that you would be a hustler like I am and you just take advantage yeah. of that. But as it turns out, you know, franchisees are franchisees because they do want a predictable paint-by-number, solve-the-problems-for-me model, right? That's why you become a franchisee and not open up your own brand. So I had to slow down to continue to grow, but when we did and we fixed those problems in our business, like any, but I'll take those kind of growth problems versus, oh crap, I'm broke. I took too long to shift, to pivot, because I was operating out of fear and doubt, and now I live with my mom and dad along with my wife and kids. Like that wasn't the problem I wanted. I knew I was gonna have a problem either living with my mom and dad with my wife and kids, or this franchise was going to grow and I was going to run into a problem, which I didn't know what, but I knew I would find a way to fix that problem. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah. There's a couple of threads that I want to go off. I'll save it as we move to close. But so at this time you came up with a business. What what helped drive the explosive growth? Like, let's approach the topic of franchise development. What did you do early on? What have you done consistently? And what is your advice to the folks out there? Maybe they've plateaued, maybe they're emerging and brand new, I don't know. But what is your kind of philosophy and approach to franchise development, lead generation, and all of that?
Yeah, so here's what I can tell you. And that's a really good question. And today, when I was on that IFA panel, I talked about this, and sadly, I could see it going over most people's heads because they just know what they know. But hopefully, your audience will catch this. And it's this: what worked in the past doesn't necessarily work today, or there's better things that'll work today. I'll give you a great example. In the past, if you are a franchisor, you wanted more franchisees, you're going to go to brokers. Because in the 80s and 90s, there is no internet. You're going to go to brokers to bring you franchisees. And those brokers are going to charge you an arm and a leg. Like currently, they charge $25,000, $30,000.
Yep. Sometimes more.
Sometimes more, right? Which means you don't make any money off your buy-in fee. That's just become the model.
Kill an emerging brand.
Yeah. When I look at that, I'm like, well, that's stupid. I'm not a not-for-profit business. I want to profit off every single bite I take. And people go, well, that's being short-sighted. No, it's not. That's being a great entrepreneur. Because today, Google is my broker. There's people doing research on Google saying, what is the best fitness franchise, best sandwich franchise, best pizza franchise, best yogurt franchise, top yogurt franchises of 2018, 1920, best franchises, period. There's like about 4,000 short-term and long-tail keywords that are being Googled every day where franchising is concerned.
Yep.
And I know that for a fact because I spend $250,000 a month just on Google alone.
Can you say that again?
I spend $250,000 a month on Google alone. Yeah. Now, you ready for this? Of our $49,600 buy-in fee, I keep $42,000 of that. I just gave, between the commission and the cost of acquiring that franchisee is about $8,000 or $9,000, more like $7,000 or $8,000, and I keep the rest. Like, that's the model that I want.
So that's your numbers that you've backed in, $7,000 to $8,000, essentially,
yeah.
Cost of acquisition.
Exactly. There's no reason for me to pay a broker. Now, am I anti-broker? No. If I want to grow faster, will I get brokered? Sure. And in fact, I talked to the guy that was on stage with me, Ray Titus, today. And I'm like, Ray,
this is great.
So you're telling me that brokers can help? He's like, yep. I'm like, great. Then I'm going to call you. I'm going to pay you. And you're going to consult me. And you're going to teach me how brokers can help me grow at this phase. But now I've got the money.
By the way, I know some of the best brokers in the business. I'm sure you do.
Lovely. Too, well, yeah. No, I actually don't, because all I know is what I know. So I get traffic from Facebook, Google, Bing, and YouTube, right? Like, those are my four platforms that I get traffic from, and I spend a lot of money there, and I know that I'm doing better than most franchisors. But, hey, man, if there's a better way, show me. But my point is that that's one way. Buy traffic, because people are now searching online. You don't necessarily have to go, especially if you're an emerging brand and you need that cash flow up front, you might as well start figuring out search engine traffic instead of broker traffic, number one. Number two, every single like CEO of a franchise brand should be a celebrity in their own space, period. Today, between TikTok and people like, TikTok, wait a minute, my daughter uses TikTok. Listen, forget it. Your daughter used TikTok last year. Right now, there's more men and women in their 40s and 50s converting to TikTok than ever before. So TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, you ought to be creating content videos, positioning yourself as the expert and the celebrity. And here's why. The person that did this first really well in entrepreneurship was Henry Ford. He created a brand of himself. Like, do you know who the CEO of GM is?
Nope.
Ryan? You don't. But you know who started Ford.
Yep.
Henry Ford, right? And that's because he created a celebrity of himself. The guy was far ahead of his time. You look at what Steve Jobs did. He was the face of Apple. You look at what Elon Musk. Elon Musk is like, hey, I'm going to go up against all the big car manufacturers who already make electric cars, both foreign and domestic, and I'm going to create the most badass electric car on the planet. And by the way, I'm just going to be cocky enough to put one in a rocket and shoot it off to Mars.
So
right?
Cool.
And Elon Musk has made, he spent more money on PR than he did on any other kind of advertisement, because he knew the value of building his personal brand. And that if you trust Elon Musk, you will trust the Tesla vehicle. If you trust Steve Jobs, you will trust the MacBook. If you trust Henry Ford, you will trust the Ford vehicle. And if you trust Bedros Koulian, you know, like, and trust me, you follow me on social media, you believe in my intensity and my anger and my rage and how disciplined I am in running my life, then you will trust the brand that I'm building and you will buy from me simply because you're like, I like that guy, I want to be like that guy, or I am like that guy. Not enough founders are doing that, and I'm baffled why. Because you don't have to get on TV anymore. You got social media, man.
I can have it right here. I just can't stress enough for the people listening in the audience, rewind, listen to that, and do exactly what he's saying, because it's absolutely critical. It's changed my life, my business.
Sure.
I started a podcast. I talk with franchise founders, executives, this and that. I'm a supplier to the industry. I also talk about tools and technology. I don't all the time speak on my domain expertise for what
right.
my business does, but people know me, people trust me. And
they see you like as an authority.
So there was another video that I was diving. I consume your content, but you talked about the different levels. You talked about going from general practitioner to specialist. And then you become. Then you have the authority. Then you have the celebrity mindset.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually link to that in the show notes. We don't have time to get into all that right here. I'd like folks to look into that, but.
But let me just give you a little example of that, where I came up with that, what I thought was a theory, but it's an actual fact. My father-in-law is a Harvard-graduated doctor, right? Mm-hmm. His business, his best friend went to Harvard as well. My father-in-law is a general practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
He makes $136,000 a year. His friend, who went to Harvard Medical School, is a thoracic surgeon, $540,000 a year. One's a generalist, one's a specialist. Do the math. Now, what happens when you become an authority and a celebrity? You own the market space.
Yep, absolutely. So going back to we could do a 5-hour podcast, and people pay you for this stuff, by the way. He's a coach. He coaches all different aspects of the business. But you buy the traffic. Was there anything else that you did from converting, like, is there anything tactical that you could share, like one thing specifically, maybe what you know based on those keywords? Are you just buying the keywords, taking them to a landing page? Are you doing pre-roll YouTube videos to people that were searching?
Good question. That's a really good question, Ryan. And someone who's all about social media, you already know this, but let's educate your audience. Every social media platform has its own personality.
Yep.
Like if you're on YouTube, you're likely doing research, long research. In other words, you're looking for a review on cars, or if you're into guns, you're looking at guns, or if you're going to buy a private jet, you're going to do reviews there, or you're learning how to be a DJ, how to be a photographer, how to bake a cake. So on YouTube, people want long, really meaty content, right? And so our ads on YouTube are very much how to choose the right fitness franchise, one that doesn't have a 10-year franchise agreement, one that doesn't fee you to death, like. I put out educational, like even though we're paying for those ads, it's educational how-to videos on YouTube. On Instagram and YouTube, or Instagram and Facebook, we are interrupting the person's experience, right? You're there looking at your nephew's videos or pictures or a cat video on Instagram and Facebook, and all of a sudden I'm saying, look, I think you might be a great avatar to own a Fit Body Bootcamp. Here's someone just like you, a male of your age and gender, because we can figure that out. Right? We can target you, so I can put a case study of one of my franchisees who's just like you, male or female, same skin color. If I can match it up, I would. Like, I take away all political correctness goes away. Like, I wish I can target people by skin color and ethnicity on social media, because I would have even higher converting campaigns, right? That's the facts. And so I will put ads on those two platforms that are case study related, meaning just social proof that says, here's a franchisee who's killing it, who's male, who's just like you in your region, because you can go regional, you know that, on social media. And people go, oh my gosh, that person's just like me. Obviously, I ought to consider this. And so on Google, it's all search-based. So when we do a search, someone does a search, best fitness franchise out there, they'll typically find our ads, and then we also pay to get search engine optimized as well. They'll find our ads, they'll click on an ad, and everybody gets funneled to the same EOI page, expression of interest form. When they hit the page, they're pixeled, which means if they don't fill out the form, we're chasing them on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. If they do fill out the form, now we've got a hot lead, and we're filling, and we're calling or texting that lead in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes. We have an outbound U.S.-based company that does a call and text within 5 minutes, qualifies them. Hey, Ryan, do you really have the 100,000 to 500,000 like you say you do? Yes, I do. Hey, Ryan, do you really want to open in the next 6 to 12 months? Yes, I do. Hey, Ryan, are you really not a felon? No, I'm not. Great. Those are the three big things we're looking for. And then they will air traffic control that lead to one of our three closers at our headquarters.
Okay.
And then, boom, once you're assigned a closer, they take you through a getting-to-know-you call. Is our first call an ops call, an operations call, which is what we can do for you that you can't do for yourself as an independent owner. The FDD, proof of capital, and territory call is the third call. And by the way, the territory maps is something that here's a little hint for all you franchisors. No one wants to do the FDD review. It's scary. It's a scary document, right? No one wants to give you all their proof of capital. Like, they're basically opening up the kimono.
Yep.
So how do we get them on the FDD and proof of capital call and have them go through that with us? By saying, look, we're also going to show you your territory heat map. We use Locate AI. Mm-hmm. We're going to show you your territory heat map, and we're going to put a 30-day hold on that territory for you with no fee. You don't have to give us anything for it. And that is the carrot that we use to bring them to that third call. Once, obviously, they go through proof of capital, and we have we've gone through our 15 days or 14 day, we just go 15 days. We don't do a discovery day at FitBody. We just do a Zoom call with me or my two VPs to see if they match our core values. Do they know who I am and how intense I am and what my expectations of them are? Do they know that this is a business partnership? Just like a marriage, we have to communicate, problem solve together and share the same vision. It's not a business to customer relationship. In other words, they're not always right and I'm always wrong. It is a business partnership, a marriage. And there's been times we're on that Zoom call, we're like, hey, we're not going to be a good fit. You seem very entitled. You seem like you're just kind of in it, but not really. Maybe you ought to go open up a sandwich shop, because a FitBody bootcamp does take a lot of commitment, right? Yeah. You're working with people's bodies, their health, their fitness. So all this to say that once they pass the Zoom call, then we go, hey, guess what? Congratulations. We're going to award you a franchise. So we never do a discovery day, and I haven't seen a need for it, because there's so much technology out there where they can meet me, they can meet other franchisees all through videos and content that we have edited and crafted to meet their desired needs and answer all their questions. And then if they need validation calls, we do that as well. But that's our entire process right there for you. It's that simple.
Yeah. How would people go about getting started on the first thing that you said, just putting out that content? You can literally do that with your iPhone. You probably want to step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I really want people to understand this, because not a lot of folks are doing this. I believe if I'm a franchisor, I'm going exactly this route. But just putting out content on YouTube and different platforms, educating people.
Here's the thing, right? Thing number one is don't overthink it. Most people, like, we overthink, like, what if I look stupid? What if I sound dumb? What if the information, people, like, hate on me? Because, you know, there's always the keyboard jockeys who are going to say something stupid about you, right? Get over that. Get past that. Like, if Jesus and Mother Teresa and Gandhi had haters, and there's websites dedicated to hating them, you don't think you and I are going to get hated? Fuck, man. We're going to get hated, right? There's sites dedicated to hating Jesus.
It's true.
Think about that.
It's true.
Right?
How can you hate Jesus?
Right. So think about that. So now that we know that, you have to forget that fact. And then you go, all right, ask your franchisees who you already have. Hey, what did you want to know? What questions did you have that you wanted to know when you were coming on board that were unanswered?
So that's the content that you
got
to make.
Make a list of 30 of them and then start pumping out videos. And people are going to see, this is where people get lost in the minutia.
See, that's a great, I'm glad I dug back into that.
And they get lost in the minutia. Well, should it be 3-minute video or 30-minute video, Bedros? I don't know. I don't care. Yeah. If you take 30 minutes to answer the question, then it's 30 minutes. If it takes 3 minutes to answer the question, it's 3 minutes. If it's a good piece of video, like WestJet made a video that was an hour and 53 minutes. And like YouTube showed that like something like 96% were watching the whole hour and 53 minutes because, anyway, people flew on a plane. They did a little reconnaissance. They knew it was around Christmas. They knew what their desired Christmas gifts were. And then when those people landed at their destination, on the conveyor belt, their desired Christmas gifts were coming out all wrapped and everything.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, make the content good, not great, and people will follow it. They'll get to like you and like your quirkiness or my intensity or whatever it is. And then you've got a franchisee. It's not rocket science.
Yeah. love it, man. Consumer side of the business, we don't have to spend a ton of time. How have you helped build out the local playbook on the consumer side? Are you turning to much the same tools and platforms in order to be able to go out and essentially do the same thing, contextual to each platform, but on the consumer side of the business, is that where you focus?
That's exactly it. For example, our clients, we know that food and fitness are pretty big in the franchising world, right? Yes. And so for fitness, why do people sign up at a gym? Like put the lights away and the neon strobe lights of SoulCycle. They sign up because they want to get some kind of results in fitness. They want to lose weight. They want to fit into their skinny jeans. They want to lose body fat percentage, improve their health because their doctor said you're going to die or you have high blood pressure, cholesterol, whatever, heart disease creeping up on you. So deliver the results better than anybody else. And we do that by, again, going right back to that media. Social media, video, and case studies, except this time it's not case studies of franchisees, it's case studies of clients who have lost 120 pounds, 80 pounds, 30 pounds, and we pump out that content. We have 4 full-time videographers at our headquarters whose job it is...
Say that again.
four full-time videographers.
I just want people to get
because what franchisor has a army of four videographers full-time that are just traveling the country and getting case study videos of franchisees' success and their clients' consumer success and then pumping it out there? Holy smokes. Like, we show results better than anybody else, and we are growing faster than anybody else. I'm self-funded and debt-free. I'm not taking on any investors or private equity, and we're growing.
Yeah, I actually have written down in my little whatever almost notes here, focus on outcomes. There was another, I've heard you speak on the topic, selling high-ticket courses for trainers and different things like that. And that's basically what you boiled it back to, and that's where you win on the consumer. You focus on the outcome, you tell that story. Yeah. I think it may be different, like in the fitness world, like a different industry. How would you maybe go about it if you're in, you know, I guess it's the same and like I'm thinking lash concepts and different wellness concepts. What about food? Like, how would you approach that?
Okay, well let's talk about lash for a second, right? Because it's like, well, isn't that more like a commodity? Well, let me ask you this. Can you make the experience any better when they show up? Can they be greeted by their first name? Can you do it where the lashes are installed faster, right? Because we do live in the convenience economy, right? Like, people Grubhub and Uber their food left and right. Now there's where you can have people shop for you. I forget what it is my wife uses, but a shopper shows up and they even go like, how spotted do you want your bananas to be? Like, we live in the convenience economy. So what can you do? So if it's a lash or a sandwich or a food concept and you're like, well, we're just like everybody else, kind of, nothing really different about us. We're Jersey Mike's and they're Firehouse, but it's the same. Well, can you make sure that your team, your employees know the clients by name, like the Starbucks? This is what Starbucks does really well. They go, hey, Bedros, what's up? Grande iced coffee, one pump of classic? Yep. And oftentimes they'll have it ready for me if it's the right partner from Starbucks, right? So the bottom line there is this. If you can't differentiate yourself in some unique way like we could, where we show results better than anyone else, what about differentiating yourself by way of service, by way of knowing the people by their first name, by way of expediting the outcome of putting on lashes or getting their sandwiches done faster? One guy, Marco's Pizza today, he was talking about how they have these ghost kitchens.
Is this Tony Lombardi or was it a different guy?
Ron.
Okay, no, go ahead.
Yeah. He was talking about how they have ghost kitchens where they can pump out pizzas faster and get it to you because they realize speed and convenience is like so important these days, right? And so like that's, I never thought of that. I mean, I'm not in the food world, but I was like, that's brilliant. You might have 200 franchise locations, but you might have another 30 ghost kitchens that are pumping out food and getting it to you faster. Brilliant.
So would you go marry some content that illustrates that in a neat, quick, short way and then just go market that?
That's exactly it. And one way we saw that happening years ago, and I know Domino's did away with that, but they said fresh pizza guaranteed in 30 minutes or it's free, right?
Yep.
I mean, because they had no other differentiator. Pizza, for the most part, is pizza. I know I'm offending pizza franchisors right now, but pizza's pizza. Come on, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and eat frozen pizza or cold pizza. You're not going to complain about it. Even bad pizza is good pizza. So that said, fresh pizza in 30 minutes. Now, from what I understand, then some delivery drivers started running people over, and so they had to do away with that little gimmick.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, that was a great differentiator. Service was used as a differentiator instead of the product itself.
Yeah, I'm getting texts from friends in the industry that want to come meet you. Other franchisors, actually.
Yeah.
So they'll enjoy listening.
Forget that asshole.
A lot of people respect you, and I think that I'm pumped to publish this. I want to get way deeper into franchise stuff. I want to get into other different stuff. I don't think we have enough time to do that because I want you to also be able to talk about some of the other things that you're up to. You have a mastermind, a franchise mastermind that you put together. Talk a little bit about that. Maybe share how folks can look more into it.
Yeah. So one thing I learned when I launched my franchise is there is no how-to course for launching a franchise. And most franchisors are left to, again, doing a Google search or maybe asking someone and just taking that advice. But how do you know that advice is working? So I partnered up with Eric Van Horn, who's just he's a broker, he's a master franchisee. The guy's like legendary in the industry. And Eric Van Horn and I started the Franchisor Mastermind. And if you're in that new space where you have 5 to 100 franchisees, like, we are going to literally change the trajectory of your business where you are more efficient, more profitable, dealing with less frustration. And we help you time collapse and get the results faster, like I would have wanted in 2012. Like, I would have been at more locations with less friction if I didn't hire, give you a great example, In 2013, I hired for 6 months two consultants who said they can help me scale Fit Body Bootcamp faster. I didn't know anything about franchising. I paid them $22,000 a month, Ryan. And it was a 12-month contract. My wife, about 6 months in, is like, hey, I think they're just Googling your questions. And I think you could Google yourself and save 22 grand a month, right? And so how often has that happened? In fact, this young lady, Ruth, who's creating her franchise, is here's a shout out to her, Code Wiz. And she's creating the coding franchise for young kids. Like
she competitor. Almost came on. We were talking about the podcast a while back on our tour. We didn't make
it. Okay, so you know who
she is.
She's
cool, yeah.
Super awesome woman, man, from Nigeria, immigrant, like just driven. She's convinced that she's going to create the next Elon Musk or Steve Jobs through her coding franchise. She's got two locations open and I think like 14 places, systems sold. She's using brokers. She's giving literally 100% of her buy-in fee away. She's like, Bedros, how do I grow? I'm like, do you know how many people are searching, how many parents are searching for some kind of coding school or education for their kids on Google where you can keep 80, 90% of your buy-in fee? And she had no idea. Like, there's a great example where that franchisor mastermind is going to help her with that. And so I'm just excited to gain her as a client and save her.
I think it's actually cool, the dynamic of you guys. And I think you might have some more people. I'm not quite sure. But you have Eric, who's also on the broker side of the business,
right.
And then you. So you kind of have the best of both kind of worlds. So
yeah. I mean, it's like 40 years of franchising knowledge between he and I. And trust me, when I go all in on something, I go all in. Like, I study every month. I study one franchise that failed, one that's succeeding, and I want to know why. Like, why is Quiznos going down? Why is Cold Stone Creamery going downhill? Why is this one thriving right now? How many franchisors are out there doing that, especially young ones starting up? You don't have the time to do that, right? I'll do that, and I'll feed you that information and tell you what's working, what's not, and help you time collapse the results.
Yeah. Where do you get your, I mean, very intense, I mean, just talking with you, I can feel it. You're like pounding the table. What do you say drives you? Because at the end of the day, you've built a very successful business, and you have multiple different businesses, multiple different streams of income. What is it that you're after? What drives you? What's your kind of...
I think Ed Mylett says it best. Ed Mylett is just a dear friend of mine, and when he had me on his podcast, he said, Bedros, you know, my greatest fear is that when I die, I'm going to be standing at the pearly gates of heaven, and St. Peter's going to say, I want you to meet someone, Ed. And that someone is going to be literally Ed at his best version, at his highest potential. And Ed says, I want to make sure I recognize that guy. I look like that guy. And every single one of us on this planet, like, the odds of you being you is like, what is it? Like, one in 400 trillion or something.
It's crazy.
Like some ridiculous odds. So if you're on this planet, just like the German Shepherd dog, there's a purpose and there's a potential that you're supposed to be here. And when a German Shepherd dog doesn't have purpose, doesn't have animals to shepherd, or doesn't have a routine, they start digging holes in the backyard. They give themselves purpose by digging holes.
Wow.
Humans are no different. If you don't have a purpose to latch onto, because you're on this planet, so you're supposed to have a purpose and a potential to reach. If you don't latch onto that and try and develop and find your purpose, you will start digging holes in your life. Alcoholism, infidelity, drugs, overeating, you name it, pornography. Those are the holes in our lives that we dig. And I know that if I am not so intensely focused on reaching my fullest potential so that when I die, I recognize that guy who I'm supposed to be. And that now I share that fear like Ed Mylett. I'm like, man, I don't want to meet that guy in my greatest potential and go, who is that? I don't recognize him. I better be his fucking twin. And if I'm not, then I've done my family, this planet, a disservice. And I don't want to die knowing that. And I'll probably end up self-destructing because I will end up doing some kind of drugs, drinking myself to death. All of us end up doing something to kill ourselves faster when we don't latch onto a purpose and a potential. So you might as well.
Dude, I love that story. I love that analogy. There was actually, I read, the study of teleology is the study of meaning and purpose. And there's a word, it used to be the ancient, they called the philosophers, they called it the telos. If you look at a telescope, it sees something far away, but that everybody has this inherent telos, but you have to figure that out. I like that analogy, though, for yourself, but I like that analogy, you start digging holes.
And by the way, that telos that you talk about,
yeah.
Your parents, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, school teachers, the religious teachers begin to snuff that fire out in you. they begin to snuff that fire out in you because they want you to be safe. Don't take risks. Watch out. Take it easy. Fit in. Fit in with everyone else. Do the same thing as everyone else because we're all grown. Think about it as a kid, how curious you are. You're reaching for things. You're running. You're trying to put your finger in the light socket. Like, whoa, watch out. Don't do that. Don't reach for that. Say I'm sorry. Not too loud. And all of a sudden, all this curiosity that you have and this desire to explore goes away. And we go, well, I guess I better go to college, get a degree, work for someone else. But deep down inside, you feel this gnawing pain and you wonder what it is. And the only way to deal with that pain is, again, infidelity, pornography, food, alcohol, drugs, suicide. And that's unfortunately what society does. They begin to lean into mediocrity instead of being extraordinary like we're meant to be.
Yeah. Talk a bit about Man Up. It's a book that you wrote. It's not just for men, but share a little bit about Man Up.
Yeah.
We're going to be giving away a bunch of them. I'm going to buy 50 of those from you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. We're
going
to be giving away some of those, but
I appreciate that.
I'll share out on social for how we're going to give those away. But Man Up.
So Man Up is a book that I wrote in 2018, actually got published in 2018, a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And it's like you said, it's not for men. If you look at the word human, it's about humaning up. Again, humaning up to your fullest potential. And I was that guy when my franchise started to stall 2013, 2014, and I started to take NyQuil and Vicodin to fall asleep. I was taking Adderall and caffeine, tons of caffeine, to wake back up in the morning. I had really lost my purpose, my sense of purpose. I was disappointed in my franchisees, disappointed in my employees, disappointed in my wife, never once taken responsibility myself. And there was a situation that took place where I was forced to tell myself to man up and do what I know I need to do. If people have anxieties and stresses in their life, they're overwhelmed, and they're like, gosh, I don't know where this anxiety and stress is coming from. Well, anxiety is anticipation of future pain. And I had an anxiety attack so bad, Ryan, I thought I was having a heart attack. And I share that in my book. And as it turns out, I was avoiding what were going to be the future pains of my life by not having the conversations, by not coaching up employees, by not firing toxic employees, by not dealing with the franchisees like I should have, by not holding myself to higher standards of expectations. And it was right around that 2015-16 that I began to take full ownership of everything in my life. Everything. If it's wrong, like if my wife went to Italy with our kids at that time, or even now, and dies, it's my fault. She dies in the hotel, it's my fault. I should have known what was going on in Italy in that day, in that hotel. Like, that's the level of ownership I take of everything in my life now. And all of a sudden, guess what? Everything's under my control. People go, well, Bedros, you're a control freak. I want to control every variable in my life. My health, my wealth, my mindset, my emotions, my happiness. You should want to be a control freak. That's not a negative. And I think it's got such a negative connotation, but I really became someone who decided that I'm going to own everything. I'm going to be fully responsible for it. Jocko Willink, in his book, he calls it extreme ownership. You can call it what you want. The bottom line is you are fully in charge of the outcome in your life and no one else.
Yeah.
That's what Man Up is about.
Yeah. We'll be sharing more info on how we're going to give that away. Is there anything else? Man, we could talk for a long time, and I probably need to have you back on the podcast and get more in depth on kind of the franchise side and all the knowledge that you have to share. But is there anything else that you'd like to touch on?
Sure. Yeah. There is. There's one more thing. But one, I'd be more than happy to get back on your podcast and go more in depth about franchising. But even beyond that, I can tell you this, that whether you want to be successful as a franchisor or a franchisee, the biggest and best thing you can do is realize that as an entrepreneur, you are in the world's best self-development program. Like, you can go to every Tony Robbins event that you want, or you can choose to be an entrepreneur that's going to test your emotional resilience, mental toughness, ability to take risks, your decisiveness, how quickly you can make decisions, your problem solving and communication skills. Like, entrepreneurship. If you're listening to this, you're likely an entrepreneur. You are part of the world's best, most intense self-development program on the planet. Take full advantage of it by becoming the best at what you do, and you will actually become one of the best humans on the planet. You will become self-aware, self-actualized. We go from human, by the way, people talk about, oh, we're all human beings. We're not. Most of us walking around, 98% of us are human animals. You become a human being when you become self-aware, self-actualized, take control of your emotions, your mindset. You control the 51,000 negative conversations that are happening in your head on a daily basis. That's the actual number. 51,000 conversations that are taking place in your head. 90% of them are the same conversations over and over again. 80% of them are negative. Like, when you go through entrepreneurship and you fully commit to making your business successful, what you don't realize, the greatest result of that is not the money and the profits and the financial freedom. It is the self-development and personal growth that you will have. And that, to me, is the most valuable thing that we can have on this planet.
And how do you go about rewiring that? I saw recently on your social, I think you shared a clip, you were speaking to young kids, and I thought that was really awesome, by the way, because you're delivering this message, obviously in a dialed back way, to young folks. But how do you go about rewiring that for the folks listening that they maybe doubt themselves, so they're doubting, maybe I'm not the right person to lead this business anymore. Maybe I should go do this. And they have this doubt. Yeah. How do you go about rewiring that?
Good question. So my friend, who's a Marine, Steve Eckhart, he goes, the Marine Corps does not turn away anybody. And they will make every single person in the Marine Corps, even the cook and the pencil pusher, a marksman. Like every single person, male, female, no matter what your role is, you will be a marksman with a rifle. That means they have a process. So the way I look at it is, you are meant to be that CEO. You are meant to be that leader. There is no man or woman on the white horse that's going to gallop in and save the day. You are it. One, accept that. Number two, how do you build that confidence? How do you get over that self-doubt? How do you kill the 51,000 internal conversations in your head where 80% are negative? Simple. You start stacking wins. And you start stacking wins by making a list of things you're going to do tomorrow, the night before. And when you set your alarm to wake up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., don't hit that doggone snooze button. That's another win. So you win by making a list of things to do the night before. You win by not hitting the snooze button. You win by saying, hey, I'm going to go to the gym. And then you keep your word, go to the gym. You win by saying, I'm not going to drink more than one cup of coffee today. Well, don't drink that fucking cup of coffee, the second cup of coffee today. You just stack those little wins. And what people don't realize, the little wins stack up to make big wins. See? Because what ends up happening is you end up building self-confidence and credibility with yourself. You go, man, I said I'm going to work out, not hit the snooze button, eat clean, drink one cup of coffee, have 30 ounces of water first thing in the morning. I did all that. You know what? Then I bet I'm going to pick up the phone and make these 6 sales calls. And you know you will because you've got the credibility. But if I hit the snooze button, if I said I was going to work out but then skipped it and used some BS excuse, then I'm going to come up with an excuse to not make those sales calls. And then that's why my business fails.
Yeah. Love it. Great advice. Tell us about what the project is.
Oh, the project. The project is 75 hours of emotional violence for male entrepreneurs. As Matt over there, Instructor Matt, is fist pumping. And truly, when I say emotional violence, it is the best self-development program for male entrepreneurs who are married and typically will have kids, because that is a hard balance to have. Sometimes your business ends up being the quote-unquote other woman, and your wife and you, and I've experienced all this. It took me 16 months of therapy. It took me all these challenges that I put myself through to build my toughness. Man Up, the book, came about through this 5-year process of me trying to level up to the best version of myself as a father, a husband, an entrepreneur, an industry leader. And we have a Navy SEAL, a Marine, a SWAT operator, former SWAT operator there, and an MMA fighter, and myself, an entrepreneur, leading the 75-hour excursion for men. There's desk time and there's physical work time. We do deep dives into negative belief systems and traumas that you had. You end up doing physically work that you never thought would be possible. These men end up running the equivalent of a marathon and a half in 75 hours. And you go, oh, they must be completely jacked. No, not at all. One was like a 53-year-old dentist. We had one who was like grossly overweight, because you're not running all at once. It's over 75 hours, and we do it in chunks. But you end up getting all these, basically, we take 75 hours, and we get you to problem solve, communicate, take on leadership roles, and we put you in extreme controlled cases of chaos to teach you how to lead properly without losing your shit, what most men do. We get passive aggressive, we blow up at our wives, and then we get adversarial, then we start, you know, doping ourselves up or getting boozed up to numb the pain. And what if you could stop all that and be a decent husband, be a decent father, be a decent member of the community, and make an obscene amount of money so you can do a lot of good with that money? And that's what the project is. It's for men, and it's the only self-help program like this for men that's 75 hours long and emotionally violent.
I love it, man. Thank you so much for coming on. If you have any other parting words, you can say it, but I love your enthusiasm, your energy. Love all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And look forward to getting to know you better. I'm gonna go do the project. However, I'm not married, so maybe I'm disqualified.
No, you're not. We had our youngest guy was 22 years old, not married, and he actually ends up working for me now, and he's just an absolute stud.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I didn't even mention we're sitting here at IFA. We're at the International Franchise Association Conference, so that's what all the background noise was.
Right.
You had a nice little panel this morning, but thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Bejos, for coming on.
Appreciate
and we'll chat soon. Cheers.